quickly discuss what did we do in the previous class. Anyone remember? Okay, we are in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita. So, we went up to 16 in the previous class. So, this chapter is titled as Karma Yoga. So, what did we discuss in the previous class?
Yoga ladder.
Okay. Purpose of yajna is what?
All directed towards Vishnu.
What else?
We also discussed types of people like bhakti, mukti, and bhakti.
Desires of people. Rajkumar, any points in last class?
Why should one perform work?
Very good. Why should one perform work? We'll see more of that today.
We are here in the material world because we have desires, and so under the framework of the Vedas, we can then carefully satisfy our desires and go back to it.
Last session, one of our points came across for the preaching point of view. Why demigod points in the role of demigods, they are the ones who are empowered by Krishna. They are authorized all for the suppliers. Plus, we also discussed why we should only eat kashana, otherwise, we will be eating all the sins.
Yes.
And also, what was the purpose of creation of this people when that come here to perform the ritual?
We also spoke about the disease in the world, the India. It's actually been made here for the same reason.
You didn't grow, are you comfortable there?
Yeah.
You want to come in front? Are you sure? Yeah.
So, the easiest yoga can perform is
what is the right answer? Anything else? Bukta. Okay. So today, we'll go from verses 17 to 35, so quite a few verses to cover. But the essential theme of these verses, you may note down, is Nishkam Karma to set a correct example. Why should one do Nishkam Karma, Nishkam Karma Yoga, to set correct example? So we'll read verse text 17. But for one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. Preeti Mataji, you want to read?
Okay. Consciousness and is fully satisfied by his acts in Krishna consciousness, no longer has any duty to perform. Due to his being Krishna conscious, all infighting within is instantly cleansed and effect of many thousands of yajna performances. By such clearing of consciousness, one becomes fully confident of his eternal position in relationship with the Supreme. His duty thus becomes self-illuminated by the grace of the Lord, and therefore he no longer has any obligations to the Vedic injunctions. Such a Krishna consciousness, the Krishna conscious person, is no longer interested in material activities and no longer takes pleasure in material arrangements like wine, women, and similar infatuations.
So we'll take 18 also and then we'll discuss. A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties. A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work. Nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. Ratnam Prabhu.
A self-realized man is no longer obliged to perform any prescribed duty, save and except activities in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not inactive in nature, as will be explained in the following verses. A Krishna conscious man does not take shelter of any person, man or demigod, Whatever he does in Krishna consciousness is sufficient in the discharge of his obligation.
So what are the main points here in these two verses? They have a similar theme.
Self-realized person or Krishna conscious person has no obligations to anyone or doesn't do any Vedic injunctions because he is self-realized and he is fully cleansed.
The self-realized person is fully happy with Krishna consciousness, so he doesn't go out of his sphere to or any desires for which he becomes obligated and things like that. So since he is completely satisfied with the centralization itself, so he has no responsibility to perform.
Every man has lives to forefathers, demigods and sages and other living entities. But a person who is centralized in Krishna conscious, he doesn't have any obligation for them.
One of the central points is
a person in Krishna consciousness doesn't do any action with his any personal motive. So he, whatever his seniors or spiritual master tells him, he is doing that.
Very good.
So he doesn't have anything of his own.
Yeah. And how do we know? Where is the indication that Prabhupada is giving in the purport? There's one.
Self-illuminated.
Correct. Who said that? Very good. Good observation. So self-illuminated. That self-illumination comes from?
Lord.
Which Lord? It's okay. It comes from Paramatma. But have we all seen the 400 form? Hands up if you have seen the 400 form. No. So Paramatma comes as? Spiritual master. Chaitya Guru. So he'll guide us to a spiritual master. And clarity on life and clarity on duty will come to us through spiritual master. So that is that self-illuminated word. That's what Prabhupada is using there. Okay. Good. So all are good points. Okay. Anything else? Anybody wants?
Just said the other, it's not Krishna consciousness is not inactivity. So.
Yes, Krishna consciousness is not inactivity, yes. Okay. Alright. So yeah, sorry, come on.
And it's like value for money, like that performing Krishna consciousness is it says thousands and thousand times.
Value for money.
Like the analogy.
This is called Vanik mentality. What's in it for me? It's okay to have it in Krishna consciousness. Okay. Okay. So in the previous chapters, we saw that prescribed duties have to be performed. Why are prescribed duties recommended?
To gradually progress
for purification. So we have to remember the previous context and then the link, how it is flowing here. So, as somebody, one of you said, except for Krishna conscious activities, a devotee is virtually rid of all ran. Ran means what? Kadan, debt. There are no debts to anybody. A devotee does not owe anything to anyone. So, there are many points that are coming across in these two purports based on that a devotee doesn't have any prescribed duties. There are various themes that are being fitted here to just substantiate that point or corroborate that point. One is that Krishna consciousness itself purifies all impiety in the heart instantly. So whatever those prescribed duties were going to do, which is what? Purification. Krishna consciousness will anyway do the same purification. So one then need not do those prescribed duties. Just by following Krishna consciousness, nashta prayeshva abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevayam. And then, hridayanta stohi abhadrani vidunoti suratsatam. So there are two verses in the second chapter, first chapter or second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. So both means that by performing devotional service, all that is troublesome to the heart goes away, which is what is called as purification. And devotional service is established as an irrevocable fact, Prabhupada writes. Irrevocable means once it goes in, it can't be revoked like that. So it won't change. Permanently it is fixed. Love for Krishna is fixed like that. So Krishna consciousness does that job what your prescribed duties would have anyway done. And Krishna consciousness job also does it fast. Like that. Okay. Then Krishna consciousness fixes one in one's eternal identity. Prescribed duties, if we have to take that path, that's a very long path. Krishna consciousness gives our swarupa siddhi. How it does? By the process of hearing. It starts with the process of hearing. Satam prasangat mama virya samvido. Which means what? Satam prasangat means in the association of devotees, mama virya samvido. Which means discuss my pastimes. Mama virya. Like that. So, does anyone remember that verse fully? Satam prasangat mama virya samvido. Bhavanti hrit karana rasayana katha. I remember your daughter mentioned that verse once in the shloka competition. And it was refreshing for me at that time. Tad doshanat joshanat asu apavarga vartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. Tad joshanat asu apavarga vartmani. Asu means what? Fast. Very fast. Apavarga vartmani. What we are talking about earlier is the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death, with this mrityu samsara vartmani. And now we are talking about apavarga vartmani. So immediately, asu, very fast, by the process of hearing in the association of devotees, a person is situated in the transcendental platform. Shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishati. Anukramishati means what? In sequence. In Marathi, we say anukramanika. Anukramanika means a serial number. In sequence, like that. So anukramishati, it will come in sequence. Shraddha ratir and bhakti. Like that. So that is the process. So purification will happen much, much faster in the process of bhakti. Also, self-illuminated. Self-illumination, how does it happen? One is Paramatma as Chaitya Guru. Okay. And the Guru will come and he will let us know our duties, right? And then from within our heart also, the Paramatma will tell us. Even for example, if we are not constantly in touch with our spiritual master for some reason, still devotees are still guided by Paramatma. Okay, don't take this job. Prabhu, should I take this job? They are giving me, you know, $20 per hour more, like that. No, but then I'll have to work for like a donkey. No? So should I take or not? And then after that, next day, Prabhu, I have decided that no, I'm not taking that. No. Or I'm not accepting that promotion. Because that promotion means I'll have to travel to China. Right? Or somewhere. No? I'm just using China as an example. Somewhere or some place where my devotional life may not be as good as what it is in Melbourne. So remuneration may be better. Growth prospects may be better. But then still, from inside the heart, somewhere it is saying that no, don't accept it because our devotional life will go down. So that is the self-evaluation. From inside, some guidance is there in decision making. And in terms of what's our duty also, at various points in time. Also, a devotee, that self-illumination also refers to the fact that the devotee, when we perform devotional service, the second aspect is what? After Kleshagni? Shubhada. All auspiciousness starts coming in the devotee. So, devotee actually becomes illuminated with all the good qualities of demigods. Like that. Also, by the process of prescribed duties, yes, definitely there is purification, but by the process of bhakti, the purification is faster in the sense that one loses all interest in material life pretty fast in bhakti process. So, loss of material interest. There is an interesting verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.5.13. I don't know whether I'll be able to recite that verse. I can remember just traces of that. 3.5.13. It says, Shashraddhadhana vivardhamana viraktim anyatra karoti pumsam harer pada anusmriti nirvitasya samasta dukkha apyayam asudatte. So this verse means that by constantly performing devotional service in the association of devotees, we will get virakti. Virakti means what?
Detachment.
Detachment. One loses all interest for material activities in this world. by performing devotional service. So that which you will not get easily by performing prescribed duties, one gets very easily in devotional service. So why to perform all those prescribed duties? Devotee need not. Just perform Krishna consciousness. Also, a devotee who is performing all this is free from all obligations to perform such activities. This is also mentioned in purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.17. Tyaktva swadharmam charanambujam haret bhajanna pakva thapate tato yadi yatra va abhadram abhud amushyakim ko vartapto bhajatam swadharmatah. There it is said that even if a devotee in this process of bhakti, in the process of prescribed duties, one has to really diligently perform prescribed duties. Otherwise, there is a fall down. But in the process of devotional service, if there is a fall down, bhajan apakvo. Apakvo means what? Which is that bhajan which has not ripened. Tato yadi. Yadi. Agar aisa hua, if it happens, then still what happens? A devotee can still lift himself. Neha vikramanasu. There is no loss or diminution there. Immediately a devotee can still pick up from wherever he lost and then come up. So Lord also helps. So the fall down of a devotee is never permanent. It is only a temporary fall down of a devotee. Like that. So there are so many benefits of where devotional service scores over every aspect of just performing prescribed duties as prescribed in the Karma Kanda section. Like that. Or in the Vedas. Okay. Devahuti, when in her samvad with Lord Kapila, father and son are speaking. Lord Kapila is the incarnation of the Lord himself. And Devahuti, he is addressing his mother in the third canto, right? Of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. So in 3.33.7, you can again note this down. There is a verse which says, Aho bata swapacho te gariyan. Yaha jiva gre vartate nama tubhyam. Tepus tapas te juhur shashnurarya. Brahmanuchur nama grinanti yete. Which means, she is saying that, Devahuti is saying that your devotees, she is telling her own son, she realizes that he is a supreme personality of God. These are devotees who are chanting, who have got the holy name on their tongue. Those people are so glorious. Say, how many people are chanting in this world? Hardly few, right? Many people, even after coming for Bhakti Vriksha for a long, long time, still they struggle to, you know, chant one round. Like that. So, it requires a lot of pumping and care and attention and constant reminders to keep people at a particular sadhana level. So, but still, a person who is chanting one round also is so glorious. So, Devahuti is saying, these people are so glorious that in their previous lifetimes, they have performed all the activities that are prescribed duties that are required in the Vedas. They have performed all sacrifices. They have performed all austerities. They have mastered all the Vedas. And that is why in this lifetime, they are chanting your holy names of the Lord. So, as a devotee, she is mentioning that a devotee is already in a platform which is much higher than people who are engaged in all these activities. So why perform prescribed duties? Okay, so that is a theme which is coming across in these verses. Now let's take a step back and recap little bit of text 16. So let's go back to text 16 so that we appreciate what's happening better. In text 16, which was the last verse of the last class, the verse says, "My dear Arjuna, one who does not follow in the human life the cycle of sacrifice thus established by the Vedas certainly leads a life full of sin. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain." So what do you see here? What do you see in the verse 17 and 18 and 16?
It's talking about that one has to perform.
But what's the one word? You see what? An apparent?
Contradiction.
Yeah, you see a contradiction here. Right? Because here, just now Lord Krishna in the last, of course we don't remember because it's the last week class. That's a different issue. But if we would have been continuing, then everyone would have spotted this contradiction very readily. Right? So when you go back, he's saying there that you must, anybody who is in the human cycle must follow the Vedic activities. And now he's saying that there are no duties to perform. No? So there is apparently.
It's saying in 17 and 18 it's as a devotee.
Correct. Yes, bro. Is that a question or a comment?
I think between 16 and 17
we are
climbing up the ladder, right?
That's the... Correct. So this is the yoga ladder, yes. We are climbing up the ladder now. You're right. Okay. But let's go back to 16. Because what I did was last time I put the diagram and then now it's gone. I think it's on the other whiteboard. Either it's there. Hey, I'm there. Keep it somewhere inside. So it got erased, or maybe, you know, because of lack of time, we couldn't go through, you know, in great detail. Of course, that diagram is required for the next few sessions. So we'll try and put that again on the board. But essentially what's happening is, in that diagram, if you see, there was animal life at the lowest level. Hmm? Animal life is all about unrestricted sense gratification. Hmm? So most of mankind is living... No, below that. Because animals follow the laws of
nature.
So they are more advanced than human beings in that sense. It is only human beings who are living, who are eating things which they are not supposed to eat. Tiger will never eat grass. Cow will never eat beef. Right? Unless it's forcefully fed by, you know, some companies. Right? However, human beings are actually living below the animal platform. But let's say hypothetically, that's animal life. Unrestricted sense gratification. Now, from unrestricted sense gratification, the jiva one day suddenly comes in contact with some priest or some people who are associated with, who are religious minded people. And once they come in contact, they come to what is the platform of karma kanda. Because unrestricted sense gratification gives you misery, right? So when the jiva faces misery, he says, can I have this sense gratification without its concomitant miseries? That's the thinking. Can I reduce my misery and still enjoy sense gratification? So when he thinks like that, then he comes into the realm of scriptures. Right? And scriptures say, yes, you can have sense gratification. You can have somras and enjoy with the women in the heavenly planets. Like that. And then the jiva gets that knowledge and he starts performing karma kanda activities. So that is the next step. So, this karmakandi activities, there are two types of people who perform this karmakanda. Some of them say that, okay, in this life, in this earth itself, let me become more and more prosperous. And some people say that, no, after all, in the earth, lifetime is very short. It's only 60, 70 years I can enjoy. I want to enjoy for many more years. I want to enjoy for 1,000 years. So let me go to the heavenly planet. This is the usual kind of thinking. But the common thing is sense gratification. One is unrestricted and one is regulated sense gratification. Now, as the soul climbs this ladder to karmakanda, as you perform this karmakanda, most of us who are from India, we can relate to it more than someone from the Western country, because here there is virtually nothing called as karmakanda, but in India it's full of karmakanda. So how did we know about Rama and Krishna? Usually how do we know? It gets reiterated in our mind when that Vadyar comes home, right? When the priest comes home and then some yajna is happening or something is happening, right? He comes in a cycle with a, you know, shikha. Right? Motorized cycle. Nowadays, of course, everyone may be having cars, they have become very wealthy, but still, right? So these people will come, and they'll come and do some puja, and then they'll talk something, right? So through their association, one gets some understanding about higher planets, about regulated enjoyment, etc., etc. But at the same time, the priest will obviously, inadvertently, they may even tell us about, little bit about Krishna. Now, in the earlier times, there were genuine priests and brahmanas, right? In the earlier days, who had good knowledge of the scriptures and who ultimately always knew that Vishnu Bhakti is the highest. But because, obviously, they have to elevate everyone gradually, they would come and do samskaras at home. But they would always advise the family, look, I am doing all these samskaras, but please understand that the highest is Vishnu Bhakti. Right? The highest goal is. But nowadays, the priest has become servant of politicians and businessmen. Right? So it is the customer who dictates what the priest should do, right? Jalli jalli patafat kar do, half an hour, you know, just wind up, right? That is what happening in India. Half an hour you wind up. Don't do too many mantra, all these things, because, you know, 10:30 the chief minister is coming for our wedding, so we don't want to, you know, we want to serve food. So finish whatever you have to. No, it's literally like that. Everyone is in a hurry to finish all these things. The husband is waiting when to enjoy with the bride. The bride is also waiting when to enjoy with the husband, right? So the father is, you know, father's consciousness and mother's consciousness are what? Okay, how should we increase our prestige in society? So that, you know, people, you know, we can do nice video shooting and then say that, you know, who all were invited, who all came to our wedding. So the prestige will go up. Also, somebody should also, you know, they will appoint someone who will go on telling that, you know, this wedding, you know, we have spent almost 70 lakh rupees, like that. So then prestige goes up in society. 70 lakh rupees wedding they have performed, like that. Okay, so the complete focus is on this, or in reception, what dress the husband and wife will wear, you know, and how, from where they will enter, and what music will be playing, how the spotlights will be, you know. So welcome to, this is Kali Yuga. So the priest is nowhere here. Right? More time is spent not with the priest. More time is also spent with who is the decorator, who is the caterer, correct? What cuisine we should serve. All those things are there, right? So, virtually, the priest has got very minor role. So, if at all he tries to make some noise, that, shh, just do it, take your money and go. That's all. But do it fast, whatever you want to do. So, priests are, and priest is also happy nowadays. Priest says, okay, fine. Half an hour, okay, my productivity, my cash is increasing now. Correct? Earlier, I had to, you know, do 2 hours, 3 hours to get that money. Now, in half an hour, I am getting money. Customer is also satisfied. In fact, they may even charge a premium. They say, if I have to do short, then it will cost you more. Because I will do fast, like that. Okay, people don't mind paying money. So, that is what is happening. However, actually, in the Vedic times, the priest is actually meant to also tell them, look, you are doing this karma kanda, but there is something more than this, right? And gradually what happens, therefore, people who are doing karma kanda also, somewhere at the back of the mind, they are being hammered that the ultimate goal is Vishnu. In fact, it is also mentioned that usually all the yagyas, whenever the yagyas are performed, the priests, regardless of who they may be Saivites, they may be anyone, they will always start with Shuklam Bharadaram, Vishnum, Shashivaranam, Chaturbhujam, Prasanna Vadaram Dayat, Sarva Vigna Upashante. So they will pray. They will always pray to Vishnu first before starting any yagya, right? Of course, nowadays, you know, they keep Ganpati in front. Lord Ganesh is in front. But still, the prayer, it all starts with Vishnu only. And then what is the last verse? Kayena vacha, manasa indriyarva, buddhya atmana prakriti svava, karomi asya sagalam parasmi, narayana yeti samarpayami. No? So everything is finally going to Lord Narayana. So they will chant that inadvertently. We may not understand. For us, it's all same thing. For us, that and Bollywood song, there is no difference. Right? Correct. For most people, it doesn't matter. Like somebody was saying that, one devotee was saying recently, I think in the Back to Godhead or somewhere it had come, or in one of the lectures, somewhere I heard, that the priest was chanting, in the marriage ceremony, the priest was chanting mantras, you know, which ordinarily should be chanted when someone dies. Right? And one person knew what he was chanting. In the whole crowd, only one person knew Sanskrit. He knew. So he was shocked. He was appalled by this fellow. What is it saying? It's an auspicious event and he's talking, you know, mantras for, you know, somebody who's left the body. And then he went and complained to the parents. They said, look, this is a bogus priest. No, he's chanting something. And what was he told? He was told, shut up. Shh. Let him do, don't create scene here. Let him do whatever he wants and be out of his way. So, yeah. So people want bogus product. Where there is a demand, there is a supply. So, the society is responsible for swindlers, right? Because we want such cheap products, then we will get such people also who will cheat us. So, that's how it's functioning, the whole mechanism. However, a real priest is supposed to give us inklings of the higher goal of life. Smatterings. Some idea he will be giving. And gradually then the soul will start realizing, not only that, but a priest also, he is supposed to tell the family that, look, at the end of the day, you are performing all this shanti shanti, these all demigod worship or karma kanda you are performing, but please understand that higher reality is that you are not this body. Which priest will come and talk today like this? Any priest has come to our house and said, you are not this body, you are spirit soul. I heard it first time in Prabhupada's books, right? So priest used to come and go.
He himself may not be knowing.
He himself may not be knowing. He'll be knowing actually, because they study Vedas. They study Vedas, but they know it theoretically. That's the problem. And they are not devotees, so they don't have any realizations. And without realizations, you can't speak. That is the problem. So Saraswati doesn't come on their tongue to mention, to talk about Krishna consciousness. For that, one needs to be a Vaishnava. Like that. And ideally, a priest used to do that in the previous yugas. He will come, the family priest will come. He will tell, okay, look, you are not the body, you are the soul. Of course, you are struggling with the sense gratification mentality. But instead of unregulated, you do regulated. But please understand that regulated sense gratification is not the goal of life. Please understand that, he'll say. And then you have to understand that even with karma kanda, you will go to heavenly planets. But in heavenly planets also, there is death. You cannot escape death. So this knowledge he will give. Now once this knowledge is being given to the karma kandi, then he starts thinking, okay, hang on. Now, I am not this body. I am the spirit soul. And even in heavenly planets, there is death. So then that means I want something which transcends birth, disease, old age and death. And that is the first time that the jnana comes in place. That's why I put that jnana here. So through the priest, through the influence of the genuine priest, then that jnana is given. When that jnana comes, then the devotee realizes, hang on, let me now start worshipping Krishna, Vishnu. If he is the one who is the supreme beneficiary of all sacrifices, then let me start worshipping that personality. So what happens? From that point in time, the word yoga becomes relevant. Yoga comes from the word yuj. Yuj means to connect. Right? So from that point in time, when you think of Vishnu, only from that point connection begins. In some form or the other. Like that. Okay. However, even after hearing that Vishnu is the supreme personality of Godhead, ultimately one has to please him. What has not gone? The desire to enjoy has not gone. Right? So therefore, but still, activities are being performed for Krishna's satisfaction. So that is called as Sakama Karma Yoga. The devotee climbs the third ladder. Sorry, one becomes a devotee. The jiva climbs the third ladder and becomes a devotee. Sakama Karma Yoga means what? That I'm now attached to, and I have some attraction for Krishna. I want to work for the long term, but at the same time, you know, I'm struggling with material desires. So most practicing devotees are on the Sakama platform. The difference is in the intensity. Some people are 10% material desires, 90% Krishna consciousness. Some are 90% material desires and 10% Krishna consciousness. And you know, this is how. So one devotee is different from the other in that sense. Right? So that is called Sakama. An example which our Bhakti Shastri teacher, Brihad Bharadanga Maharaj, Bhakti Brihad Bhagavat Maharaj, he gave recently in Chopati, was that a devotee who is seeking second initiation. I don't know whether I have told this example before. A devotee seeks second initiation. Brahman Diksha. After first initiation. So, when the devotee has finally received second initiation, the pujari is calling him. Saying that, okay, now it is time for doing your services. So, you have to do aarti. What time slot would you prefer? So, the pujari, pujari gives a time slot of Wednesday afternoon. So the devotee is saying, Wednesday afternoon is not so suiting me because I have got other appointments. Like that. So he says, okay, how about Thursday afternoon? Thursday also, you know, I have got other commitments. So then the pujari is saying, okay, I think that leaves only Sundays, you know, in the peak time and Saturdays. Is that fine? Oh, yeah, certainly. I can adjust. No problem. I will do that service. Now, what is the devotee's desire here? To give his darshan on the altar. Like that, okay. So Brihad Bharadanga Maharaj says, he wants to be another deity on the altar. Giving darshan. And then the devotee, when he is doing that aarti, his concentration is that how do I move my hands beautifully like that. He is thinking that all the devotees are looking at him doing the aarti, whereas all the devotees are looking at the deities. But still he is thinking like that. Right? And then he is moving his hands, you know, so and so, very nicely, beautifully, so that all devotees are thinking how pakka this fellow is, you know, in his bhakti. What beautiful dhoti, nice tilak, and you know, how nicely the hand is moving, like that. Okay. Now, this is a very good example that you know, to make me understand, this made me understand what is Sakama Bhakti. There was no doubt left in the mind. So, here what is happening, the activity itself is being done for the pleasure of Krishna. He is a devotee, no doubt. He wants to do this activity. If he wanted enjoyment, he could have gone outside also, in Karma Kanda or some other way of getting prestige, right? But still, he is coming into Krishna consciousness, but still wanting prestige. So therefore, let us say 20% Krishna consciousness, 80% prestige consciousness, right? That comes under what is called as Sakama Karma Yoga, like that. But still, there is a connection. Maharaj says that by performing this activity, what will happen? The initial excitement on this activity, that people are watching me, etc., etc., will eventually die down. Right? And after that, automatically the process of bhakti will also purify that devotee. So after some time, he'll go back and say, no problem. You know, anytime I will do. Anytime I will do this service. So now, he has graduated from the results of the fruitive results of that activity. What was the fruitive result of that activity? Prestige. Right? So he has graduated. So he doesn't want that end result of that activity, which is prestige. He just wants to do that service for the Lord. So a devotee now graduates from Sakama to Nishkama. But the devotee is being told, from tomorrow instead of doing aarti, we want you to clean pots. Now the devotee has a problem. He says, fine, look, Prabhu, I'll do any time aarti. You give me Wednesday afternoon, I'll do aarti. When nobody is in the temple, I'll do aarti. But I'll do aarti. So attachment to the activity is there. Attachment to result has gone. But still attachment to the activity. Usually it happens in garland service, I heard. Attachment to only I will make this garland, I will make only that garland or whatever, whatever. No? That kind of attachment is there. And lot of haggling happens, no? Between devotees, because simply because of garland service to the Lord. Right? So like that, we get attached to one particular service, we get attached to doing that service in our own particular manner. Right? But actually all this has got nothing to do with bhakti. Right? But at least there is, it may not be a sakama. It may be genuinely that I want to do that service for the Lord. Or it may be genuine desire that I want to make the best garlands for this deity. That desire is there. But then if the moment you are told that no, now you no longer have to do that service, you are given some other service, then there is chaos. So, Nishkama Karma Yoga has got that problem. Eventually, a devotee realizes that at the end of the day, Lord Krishna is pleased with what? Akama Bhakti. Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. There is no other desire I have, no other attachment to results, to activities, nothing. I will become a slave of Krishna. Slave. From servant you become slave. So any service that I am told, whatever pleases the Lord, I will become that. Look at Narad Muni. Narad Muni has delivered prachetas, right? So many people he has delivered who wanted to marry, and he made them into brahmacharis. We see that. So how much then Narad Muni must be, Narad Muni is a real evangelist of the brahmachari ashram. But same Narad Muni became grihastha in Chaitanya Leela. He came as Srivas Pandit. Right? Same Narad Muni. To serve the Lord, a devotee is willing to don different robes. So he is neither attached to his ashram nor to his services. So eventually a devotee realizes that I should not be attached to the activity as well as the results. And that is called as akama bhakti. So that is the yoga letter. Is it clear? Yeah?
Last class you mentioned that after Nishkama, before akama, the devotee is still attached to the knowledge. And then the, so where is that stage?
So I am drawing the progressive ladder, the one in between. There are three ladders if you remember, right, no, which we had drawn. On the left side was the fastest ladder, express ladder, progressive ladder, and then the slow ladder. What you are talking about is a slow ladder, going to Ashtanga and all that. So I am not mentioning that now. We will discuss that now, because as we go ahead, we will get into Ashtanga Yoga and all that. Okay. Now, again we will come back to these verses. 17 and 18. 17 and 18, what is it said? That don't do your, you don't have to do prescribed duties. Because now you have become a devotee. Correct? Now, the problem is mentioned here that a Nishkam Karma Yogi, when one comes to that platform, right, of Nishkam Karma Yoga, then one may conclude that prescribed duties lead ultimately to what? To material reward. Why does someone do prescribed duties in the Karma Kanda? Because of material reward. So, and from a Nishkam Karma Yogi's point of view, he says that I am doing prescribed duties, right? One who does prescribed duties has got a material reward. But he says that I am on the Nishkama platform, I don't desire any material reward in life, right? He may think like that. Therefore, and I know that I don't want to go to Swargaloka. I also know that I am not this body. So, how are all these things related to me? How are these prescribed duties? Why should I perform any duty at all? That's how a Nishkama Karma Yogi may think. So, that's the reason that Lord Krishna is now explaining that even a Nishkama Karma Yogi has to perform some duties. And that is the title for today. Nishkama Karma Yoga, to set the correct example for others. So, that is the context here. Is it clear? Not clear. A Nishkama Karma Yogi may deride the principle of doing duty. He may say that I don't want Swargaloka. I know I am not this body. I don't have any attachments. And then one who does not have any attachments need not do any duties at all. He may think like that.
Right?
Material duties. Yeah. Material duties. I don't have to do any material duties. And he may try to escape that material duty. Who was trying to do that?
Arjuna
was trying to do that. So that is the scenario in battlefield of Kurukshetra. So Lord Krishna was seeing that Arjuna is at a risk now. He may say that exactly, that is what I am saying, I will go to the forest. Again he will start talking the same thing. Right? So Lord Krishna is saying, hang on. Though you are a devotee, you still have to fight in Kurukshetra. You still have to execute your Kshatriya Dharma. Though you are a devotee, you have to do it because for my pleasure. And then, that is of course, that is a higher principle. But right now Lord Krishna is saying that you have to do this to set up example. And it is how that verse occurs. Yad yad asarishti shrestas. Whatever great men do, common people follow. So in this context that verse comes.
Krishna saying in verse 17 and 18 that you still need to do the duty.
He's coming to that now. Correct. He's coming to that now.
Prabhupada, you explained in the last class that Krishna also performs his duties when he is here. So it's somewhere in the Bhagavatam.
He's coming now. Again, he's saying, himself he's saying, I am also performing. He's saying.
But can you also explain why he performs?
Yeah.
He is also above all of that. Sometimes some of the
coming
advice
to that.
And guidance he provides on the battlefield also.
We'll come to that. I think he's saying that. 22, text 22. What you are talking is exactly text 22. We'll come to that. Okay, so let's go to text 19 to 21. That's another theme, 19 to 21. Let's see that. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty, for by working without attachment, one attains the supreme. So he's still talking about working, but without attachment, like that. But work should be done. Don't avoid duties. You cannot avoid work, right? Because you are on Nishkama platform, like that. So who wants to read this one? Mataji, you want to read? Gandhi Mataji. Yeah.
The Supreme is the personality of Godhead for the devotee and liberation for the impersonalist. A person, therefore, acting for Krishna or in Krishna consciousness under proper guidance and without attachment to the result of the work, is certainly making progress towards the supreme goal of life. Arjuna is told that he should fight in the battle of Kurukshetra for the interest of Krishna because Krishna wanted him to fight. To be a good man or a non-violent man is a personal attachment, but to act on behalf of the supreme is to act without attachment for the result. That is perfect action of the highest degree recommended by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Vedic rituals like prescribed sacrifices are performed for purification of impure activities that were performed in the field of sense gratification. But action in Krishna consciousness is transcendental to the reactions of good or evil work. A Krishna conscious person has no attachment for the result but acts on behalf of Krishna alone. He engages in all kinds of activities but is completely non-attached.
So we'll go to 20, 21 and then we'll discuss. Kings such as Janaka attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Even King Janaka is performing prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, kings such as Janaka attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, kings such as Janaka attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. Adrian Prabhu, you want to read?
Kings like Janaka were also souls. Consequently, they had no obligation to perform the prescribed duty in the Vedas. Nonetheless, they performed all prescribed duty activities just to set examples for the people in general. Janaka was the father of Sita and father-in-law of Lord Sri Ram. Being a great devotee of the Lord, he was transcendentally situated. But because he was the king of Mithila, a subdivision of
Bihar
province in India, he had to teach his subjects how to perform prescribed duties. Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the Lord's eternal friend, had no need to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but they fought to teach people in general that violence is also necessary in a situation where good arguments fail. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, every effort was made to avoid the war, even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the other party was determined to fight. So for such a right cause, there is a necessity for fighting. Although one is situated in Krishna consciousness, it may not have any interest in the world, he still works to teach the public how to live and how to act. Experienced persons in Krishna consciousness can act in such a way that others will follow, and this is explained in the following verse.
Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. This is a famous verse. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Kavya Mataji.
Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before people is teaching.
What's going on there, actually? Bit irritating. Can you put in a nice word there? Losing concentration. Sorry, Kalyamata, please continue.
One who teaches in that way is called Acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of the revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manusamhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard Shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of a state, the father, and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes.
So what are the points?
One thing which is clear now is I sort of had the doubt why the duty still needs to be performed if there is no attachment to the result or activity or whatever. Then it's clear in verse 20 that it needs to be performed because the person needs to set an example for other persons. That this is the behavior what should be, and like the example of Janak Maharaj is given here.
In real life, probably in the business world, if we need to actually fight for something, how to relate that to Krishna?
In the business world, we need to?
For example, need to argue or really literally a sort of fight, like, how to relate that to Krishna is the question.
Good question. That's what we also do in meetings. Half our day goes in meetings. Gaurang Prabhu said something very funny, but I can't remember that. Everyone is involved in cheating, and therefore one is cheating the other, therefore they have meeting. Something like that he said. I can't remember. Something like that he said. Okay. Anyway, so at office, yes, I understand that we'll have, at work, the moment you enter, it's a different atmosphere, right? It's a dog-eat-dog world there, right? So, most of the time goes in, who is going to now pull my chair today? Who is going to prove that I am not doing my job properly? Though he may not be doing something, everyone is, most of the time in office goes in defending. Very less time goes in actual productive work, right? You have to do some document and you have to read it 50 times, thinking that, okay, will someone read between the lines and, if something goes wrong, will they blame me that you didn't write in your document that way? That's where most of the stress is. Mahesh and Preeti are laughing. So, okay. Right? So how do you do your work? So, it's a good question, and you remember that on Friday when we were having prasadam, they were asking me, why are you in a very pensive, thoughtful mood? I was just staring into blank space. And I was actually asking the same thing to myself. I was thinking in this intensely passionate atmosphere at office, oh my Lord, how do I remember you? How do I remember the goal of life? So there is no other way, but see, we can't listen to, if in your office you can listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, that is very good, right? So the best that we can do, and Preeti Mataji is there, Mahesh Prabhu is there, Jaimuni Prabhu is there, who else is there? Anyone who's, sometimes Viraj Prabhu comes. So what we do is, at least at lunch time, we discuss some Krishna Katha. So we all come together to a place to have prasadam, and we discuss Krishna Katha. So then, by that, sometime during the sandwich, you have mode of passion and mode of passion after lunch, right? In between, at least you have some Krishna Katha. So the morning hearing, whatever we do in the tram, and the morning sadhana that we do, it reminds us that the goal of life is not working hard in office, right? To get prestige and money and power, right? So we are reminded. So that sees us through the first 4 hours of the day, to some extent, right? And then, again, depends on what quality of hearing and chanting we have done, right? And then during lunchtime, again, we discuss, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then that lasts, at least that effect lasts for the first maybe 1 hour or so, before the next, thing happens. And then when we come back home in the evening, then we have, Keshav Prabhu's Bhakti Vaibhav class on Monday and Tuesday. Or when we come home, then sometimes the husband and wife can discuss, what they heard, whose lecture was heard and what happened, and, some points can be shared. At home, the couple can read Srimad Bhagavatam together, the husband and wife, along with the child. And then obviously, we have the regular activities of offering bhoga to the deities, etc. So you once again get reminded that yes, the goal of life is not that, right? So you come back in the mood. So that is the only way we can balance. Otherwise, it's extremely difficult during work to be able to constantly remember the Lord. One thing which personally I have done is I have kept photos in, I don't have a fourth direction because someone sits next to me here. But in three directions, it's enclosed for me. So then I have kept photos everywhere. So sometimes, even amidst work, I just take a break and I just look at the Lord and He's smiling from the photograph. What's going on? What karma did I do that, we have to struggle, so hard to win our daily bread like that. So, but then what can we do? But we have to understand that the Lord is desiring for us to be in that position. Today only I realized that in Mill Park program, I was talking to one gentleman. He was telling me about his realizations. He has just, this was his only second class in Bhakti Vriksha. But he was telling me that now I am able to understand that the Lord had designed something for me at office. Therefore, and then actually, he was thinking that he was telling me, but I was thinking that the Lord is telling me through him. Because I was going through this chanchalam in my, office over the last few weeks of intense activity. That yes, the Lord has ordained me, He has only given me this atmosphere. And when the Lord gives you very tough atmosphere at workplace, what are we supposed to develop? We are supposed to use it fully and develop detachment from our office. That is why it is giving. Otherwise, what could happen is, if everything is very hunky-dory at the workplace, then it's very easy for us to get attached to job. We'll say, even if boss doesn't tell you, we'll say, no, don't worry, I'll sit till 10 o'clock and work. Don't worry, I'll take more initiative. After all, we have to grow the numbers. From 1 billion, we have to go to 2 billion. From 2 billion to 10 billion, we have to make the company. So once you start getting attached and you start getting a regular appreciation for that, then that work binds you like that. Then you may say that, no, I want to go a little bit early to office, or I may come late, so probably I'll not come. I'll skip the Bhakti Vaibhav course. Or I'll not do the other activities that I otherwise would have done. Right? I don't think I'll be able to read Srimad Bhagavatam because I think it's a very intense time, lot of activities to be done, lot of milestones to be achieved at work. Things like that. So one becomes very passionate. So Lord knows exactly how much of misery to give us in office, to keep us always in check, that we don't, go too overboard in getting attached to our official work. I don't know whether I answered your question, but this was just a little bit of personal experience I shared with you. Okay. So 19 to 21. So the Lord is seeing a tendency that Arjuna may go to the forest. Even now Arjuna is at risk. He has not stopped arguing with the Lord, right? So if Arjuna goes to the forest, the Lord is saying people will follow your example. Prematurely, even before we become devotees, for fixed devotees, devotees will say that no, I am retiring. I am going to Mayapur and winding up everything. Or I will go and settle down in Vrindavan. Many people have this early settling down syndrome. One such example is me. I had that 2 years back. Till someone told me that you are not ready to go to Mayapur right now. You can go there after some time. right? But not now. We are not ready. As I said in the previous class, unless we are fully confident that the empty glass can be filled with Krishna conscious activities throughout the day without any external pushing, we should not prematurely retire. Otherwise, after retirement also, we will be surfing the internet. Gradually from the internet, we will go and start going back into 2020 cricket match, right? Or rugby, right? Our old interest will come up. Then we'll say, why not watch one movie now? So, Maya is very quickly, Maya can take us through a ride when we have spare time, right? So, therefore, we have to fill up our day with Krishna conscious activities or do our prescribed duties. Right now, our prescribed duties is what? As a grihastha, our duty is to take care of our jobs. Our duty is to ensure that as grihasthas, we get regular income. And if we have to develop some skill sets, we have to do that. If we have to do our jobs carefully, we have to do that. If we have to sit occasionally little bit late here and there to protect our jobs, we have to do that. There is no choice. Mahesh, he gets phone calls, and Preeti, you also, right? Not nowadays, but Mahesh is still getting. He gets phone calls, you know, anytime. He's operational support. So at 4 o'clock, you know, if there is a severity, you know, incident in the bank, then immediately he has to get up and solve that. He can't say no. But then he has to do that to keep his, to support his family and to keep his Krishna consciousness intact. Because Krishna consciousness is Melbourne temple, not many temples are like Melbourne Mahaprabhu temple. We can go to many other places, but we will not get this kind of a congregation, this kind of a facilities, such a glorious temple president we have here, who keeps everything in order, right? So this infrastructure is fantastic. Burijan Prabhu coming in, where will you get all these facilities? Not all temples, you know, we will get these facilities. Because we are so used to it, we may not be able to appreciate it. But if we take a step back, then we'll realize, hang on, you know, I'm in actually Vaikuntha. We are in the spiritual world, you know, when we enter this temple, like that. So to protect that bhakti of ours, if we have to do something on our jobs to take care, we better do it. So those prescribed duties, a devotee is also doing. But a devotee is primarily doing those prescribed duties very carefully to protect the creeper of bhakti. There is no other interest that the devotee has in working meticulously at office. Not that, okay, after working, then you go and stand in front of your boss and say, look, last year you gave me this rating, I think I deserve a higher rating. You know, usually devotees don't haggle like that. Because who gives results? He is already ordained. He will give us whatever we desire, we deserve, right? And whatever is good for us. So usually devotees are not pushy when it comes to these things, rewards. We know that karmane vadhikarashya ma phaleshu kadachana. I'll give the results. You don't worry about results. You just perform your duties for my pleasure. So that is why sometimes when you get frustrated, you can look at Lord Krishna. You'll get reminded. Oh, see, I'm fine. You have ordained this. I'm doing it. And then you'll actually do better after that. So Arjuna has this risk and Lord Krishna is addressing him to do work. The key learning here is working without attachment is renunciation. Renunciation doesn't mean renouncing activity, but engaging in activity without getting attached to that activity. That is called as renunciation. That is called as renunciation, which is coming through knowledge. So Lord Krishna is giving the example of Janaka, who is a great leader. So there are three things that Janaka did, which every ideal leader must do in society. Three things, qualities of an ideal leader. What are those? First is, he must perform prescribed duties to set an example for others. Second is, the basis of his life and teachings will always be Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So Prabhupada is talking about leaders here, right? Who are not consulting any scriptures and they are just living wayward life themselves. And the subjects are also following them and everything is chaotic. So a leader is one who always follows Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Third is, the goal of such a leader is what? To deliver himself and also deliver his subjects, his dependents. So with these three things, one becomes a perfect leader. So an acharya, such a leader is called as an acharya. An acharya is one who teaches by his own personal behavior and character. He doesn't do something he doesn't say something and do something else. Right? There is integrity in what he talks and the way he lives his life. Like that. And Prabhupada also gives examples of natural leaders. Who are natural leaders? Mother, father. As mother, father, we are natural leaders for our children. Right? Then the executive head. Right? That's a natural leader. A school teacher is also a natural leader. Like that. So Srimad Bhagavatam ultimately recommends that we must follow in the footsteps of such great men, of such leaders. Harer Nama Anukirtanam. That is the essence. Parishit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami, what is the duty of a person who is about to die in the second canto, first chapter? So Sukadeva Goswami describes so many things about householders. And towards the end he says, what is that verse? Harer Nama Anukirtanam. Which is that verse? Correct. Etavan Nirvidya Mananam Ichchatam Akuto Bhayam Yoginam Nripa Nirnitam Harer Nama Anukirtanam. So chanting and devotional service is the doubtless and fearless way for all. Two things. Doubtless way and fearless way for all. So that is the conclusion. So don't worry about death. Just perform devotional service. Perform activities for the pleasure of Krishna. And follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. Perform your kirtan, your duties, the way the acharyas perform their duties. Don't invent your own ideologies or your ways of doing your duty. Look at the acharyas and just follow them. So that is the key message that's coming out. O son of Pritha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. So what the Lord is saying, I am also engaged in prescribed duties, which was Kiran Prabhu's point. The Lord is also engaged in, you are the one, you asked, right? Or who asked that question? You asked that question. Okay. So the Lord is saying that I am also engaged in prescribed duties. So he is setting an example by his own life. So let's read this. Ajay Prabhu, why don't you read this?
The Supreme Personality, the purport also, translation also.
Purport.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in the Vedic literatures as follows.
Just go to the English.
Supreme Lord is the controller of all other controllers. He is the greatest of all the diverse planetary leaders. Everyone is under his control. All entities are delegated with particular power only by the Supreme Lord. They are not supreme themselves. He is also worshipable by all demigods and is the supreme director of all directors. Therefore, he is transcendental to all kinds of material leaders and controllers and is worshipable by all. There is no one greater than him, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. He does not possess a bodily form like that of an ordinary living entity. There is no difference between his body and his soul. He is absolute. All his senses are transcendental. Any one of his senses can perform the action of any other sense. Therefore, no one is greater than him or equal to him. His potencies are multifarious, and thus his deeds are automatically performed as a natural sequence. From this, Vedas,
Patara Upanishad.
So, continue?
Yeah.
Okay. Since everything is in full opulence in the personality of Godhead and is existing in full truth, there is no duty for the personality of Godhead to perform. One who must receive the results of the work has some designated duty, but one who has nothing to achieve within the three planetary systems certainly has no duty. And yet, Lord Krishna is engaged on the battlefield of Kurukshetra as the leader of the Kshatriyas because the Kshatriyas are duty-bound to give protection to the distressed. Although he is above all the regulations of the revealed scriptures, he does not do anything that violates the revealed scriptures. This is the last bit is where I...
You have a question or a point?
Yeah. Question.
Okay, just hold on to that. We'll read 24 as well. 23 and 24 and then we'll discuss. For if I ever fail to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. Katyani Mataji, you want to?
In order to keep the balance of social tranquility for progress in spiritual life, there are traditional family usages meant for every civilized man. Although such rules and regulations are for the conditioned soul and not Lord Krishna, because he designed to establish the principles of religion, he followed the prescribed rules. Otherwise, common men would follow in his footsteps because he is the greatest authority. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is understood that Lord Krishna was performing all the religious duties at home and out of home as required of a householder.
If I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. So what was your question?
It says that so Lord is following all the prescribed duties, but sometimes he performs some leelas that is understood in a way to say he is transcendental, he is not like, oh yeah, but it's kind of contradicting, you know. So Prabhupada also, we know that certain things what he does, we cannot even imagine or try. But again, how does that fall under the duties or what he is?
Okay. The Lord has got three purposes. Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashayacha duskritam, and dharma samsthapanarthaya. So here we see also that Lord is talking about dharma samsthapanarthaya. He says that I have to establish the principles of religion, so therefore I have to myself follow. He leads by example. But please understand, and then there is also vinashayacha duskritam, killing the demons, that is fine. But the first one, which is the most important point, we have discussed in our Milpar program, we had the same verse today. The most important reason why the Lord appears is to attract the devotee through his pastimes, leela, back to Godhead. To be able to attract the devotees, he has to perform nectarian pastimes. Because devotees, the constitutional position of a devotee is, of every living entity, is in one of the five rasas. Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakhyaras, Vatsalyaras and Madhuryaras. Now, the Lord, if that is our constitutional position, then the pastimes also have to be performed in all these rasas, so that as somebody, for example, if Dinavatsala Prabhu is Sakhyaras, for example, then immediately that pastime will appeal so much to Dinavatsala Prabhu that when he is chanting, he will completely meditate on those pastimes, and gradually the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the syllables of the Mahamantra will reveal his constitutional position as a cowherd boy. No? In Vrindavan, like that. Okay. So that is the purpose why the Lord comes and does these pastimes. Does it answer your question?
It does.
Yeah.
So Prabhu, sorry. So he's performing two kinds of duties, is it? One is for the normal public who may or may not be devotees, and other duties are for the devotees, is it? Because his prescribed duties may not necessarily appeal the non-devotees. Because in this case he's actually trying to...
Karmakandis are also non-devotees. Please understand.
Yeah, I mean, in this case he's trying to set an example, right? Okay, the leaders have to be like that. So he is not supposed to do anything, but still he is doing work. And so he's setting an example as a leader, right?
Correct.
So that is not necessary for devotees, right? So is he doing two kinds of duties?
Yeah, he is performing some activities to establish faith in the devotees and to attract the devotees back. On the other hand, he's performing others just to set an example as a leader and to set the standards, to set the benchmark. That I don't have any duties to perform, but still I am also doing, so what is your problem? Correct? Even Prabhupada had a pharmacy. So why we should not work? Because there could be situations, you know. We have seen, you know, in many congregations, even in sometimes in our congregation we have seen that the person comes, becomes devotee, shaves up, again, after some time goes out of Krishna consciousness. Again, after a few months, you know, a person is seen, you know, completely different, appearance, right? Correct? And then the person is not working also. Married, child, everything, but not executing the responsibilities of a grihastha. Right? So, very whimsical kind of. And then, such a person may also start thinking that, look, how detached I am from my family. This is nonsense. Then why did you marry if you were detached? If you were so detached, then you should have taken Brahmacharya Ashram. Why did you marry? You cannot say, I will marry and then be detached from my wife. No, like that. Yes, detachment should be there in terms of physical sense gratification. That is what the Shastras say, right? But it doesn't mean that you will enjoy sense gratification whenever you want with the opposite sex, and then after that you will become detached. No, whenever your turn of duty comes, or whenever you have to wash the toilet with Harpic soap in the house, or washed clothes or something, or do, you know, then you are suddenly detached from the family. Like that. Huh? Or when you have to, your turn is to support your family monetarily, then you are detached. No, I am detached. No, let them take care. Let the wife earn and the child will be supported like that. And wife can give me also money because I am a detached husband. You know, because, so I am very renounced like that. Actually, this is true. All this is true. These are not true things. Such things can happen, you know, in any congregation, right? So that is what Lord Krishna is warning. He's saying that, look, I myself am doing duties. So what is your problem in doing these duties? So you have to be very careful. Okay. So, where are we? 22 to 24. So it is mentioned that the Lord has no prescribed duties. Why? One has to do. What is the goal of all prescribed duties? Purification. But if you have to split it, by doing those prescribed duties, one gets knowledge, one gets renunciation. Right? By gradually doing those prescribed duties. We have seen that, right? Jnana, jnana coming everywhere, right? One gets knowledge, one gets renunciation, and then one gets therefore liberated. Because one gets detachment and therefore one is liberated. That's the goal of all prescribed duties. However, the Lord is supreme knowledgeable. He is the supreme renunciate. And he is Atmaram. Right? He doesn't need anything. Still he is performing prescribed duties. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashriya. The Lord is having all six opulences in full. That is what Prabhupada is also writing. So why then the Lord has to do any duty? So he is still doing his duty so that common men will follow. Like that. So three reasons are given in these purports. First is the Lord does his duty to establish religion. That is the purpose of his descent also. The second reason is to establish social tranquility. To establish order in society. Like that. For progressing, gradual progress in spiritual life. The third reason is given to set an example in a leadership role. So three reasons. And Lord, by doing these arguments, is countering Arjuna's argument, which he put forth in 1.40. So if you want to go back to 1.40, let's see what is written there. What is said in 1.40? When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Rishni, comes unwanted progeny. So what was Arjuna's argument? If you kill Duryodhan and all these Kauravas, then it will result in unwanted progeny, because there will be no husbands to protect their wives, and therefore women will become degraded, and therefore there will be unwanted progeny. But Lord Krishna is countering that argument by giving exactly opposite. He says, if you don't do your duty of killing them, then there will be unwanted progeny. So that's where that connection is, the link between that and this chapter. So Varana Shankara is caused by not fighting. Varana Shankara is not caused by fighting. So he is countering that point in this section. However, okay. Now, as much as the Lord says this, in the next verse, which obviously we didn't read the purport, but I'm sure that all of you have read and come. So you all will be knowing. Why everybody is laughing? So I'll read this, just for those few who may not have read. We should, however, note carefully that although we have to follow in the footsteps of the Lord, we still have to remember that we cannot imitate Him. This is mentioned in text 24, in page 171. Following and imitating are not on the same level. Prabhupada writes, we cannot imitate the Lord by lifting Govardhan Hill as the Lord did in His childhood. It is impossible for any human being. We have to follow His instructions, but we may not imitate Him at any time. So Lord Prabhupada is giving that instruction. Don't imitate. If you imitate, then we develop Sahajiya mentality, right? We take the Lord very casually, like that. And Prabhupada is giving example of Lord lifting Govardhan Hill. So you don't try that. You cannot lift it, so don't, in other aspects, don't imitate. Don't say that Lord Krishna did Rasa Leela, let me also do. Like that. This is all my Rasa Leela. Like that, okay? So Prabhupada said this is called a Rascal Leela, not Rasa Leela. And then, Shiva drank poison. That's why he became Neelakant. So if you want to do all that, then you also drink poison. Then you can also be like Shiva. So don't imitate. Just follow the instructions that the great souls, and in this case Bhagavan himself, right, has given. So do your duty. That's what again and again Lord Krishna is saying. Okay. We'll go 25. Now we'll read 25 and then we'll read 27 and 28 and then we'll come back to 26 and 29. There is some crisscrossing here. As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act but without attachment for the sake of leading people on the right path. I'll read 27 now. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. The famous verse, Prakrite Kriya Manani. And then the next verse, one who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, O mighty armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work in devotion and work for fruitive results. So this is 25, 27 and 28. They form a common theme. So Lord Krishna is explaining the difference between an attached and a detached worker in these verses. Both of them are working. One is attached, one is detached. So he is saying that ignorance means working with attachment. And self-realization is working without attachment. But more importantly, working not only without attachment, but working such that you are setting a example for others to follow. So that's what he's saying. Also, Srila Prabhupada is saying that one may sometimes act, a self-realized person may sometimes act as a ignorant person just to relate to them for preaching purposes. To be able to relate to some people, we also have to act little bit, you know, ignorant. Now, the difference between an attached worker and detached worker is mentioned here. There are various parameters. So there are five parameters which are compared in these verses. So this is the gist of whatever these verses are talking about. The first parameter, the differentiating theme, if you like, between attached and detached worker is, first is desire. The desire of a attached person is what? He desires his own sense gratification. Whereas a detached person, worker, he also works, but his desire is what? Satisfaction of Lord Krishna. The second is convictions. What are the convictions of a person who is very attached? So a person who is very attached, attached worker, he is convinced that he is the doer of these activities. We have seen in our office, if someone does something, they have to really tell it in a meeting. They have to come in front of four people and say, I actually gave that suggestion, you know, through that issue. Yeah, actually I was solving that problem like that. So that I has to come somewhere. Nobody can hide. The moment you solve something, I did, and you know, it has to come in some meeting or in a room and loudly shout in front of bosses that I did. Okay. Or I achieved, I solved this. But we don't understand that the ability is given by Krishna. So a devotee is able to understand, but an ordinary fruitive worker thinks that he is the doer of all activities. So they are convinced by that false ego. That's why it is said, Prakrite Kriya Manani Gunai Karmani Sarvasaha Ahankara Vimudatma Kartahe Miti Manyate. The attached worker doesn't know that science. Arjuna is also maybe thinking that I am the one who has killed the Kauravas. Of course, he doesn't think like that, but Lord Krishna, therefore, before that only tells him, I have already killed all of them. You don't have to do anything. You just fire the arrows. So the Lord has already done the job. So results are already ordained. Yes.
That is free will fitting here too.
Yes. Free will is coming in because he has to. He may still not fire the arrows, but they will anyway die. Because whatever the Lord desires will happen anyway. So he is just making us understand that you have to act as my instruments, because that is what you will be doing in the spiritual world. Unless you align with that, then there is no entry in the spiritual world. We can't go to the spiritual world till we come to the platform of Sharanagati. And the last thing that you can do Sharanagati is your free will to the Lord. Right? Bali Maharaj gave everything. Everything was taken away. Everything he surrendered. Right? All his material assets. Ultimately he said, I have nothing. So you take me only. Atma Nivedanam. I am yours. Do whatever you want with me. That is the ultimate surrender. So you are surrendering your free will to Krishna. And you remember, if we read the past in that verse, which verse was that? That Panchajanyam Rishikesha Devadattam Dhananjaya Poundram Dadmo Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vikodara. If you know where Lord Krishna is appearing as Rishikesha. You remember that? We discussed, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Lord then controls the senses of such a devotee who is surrendered. So then the Lord himself is taking care of free will, paid will, everything. Right? That is complete saranagati. So convictions of a attached worker is that I am the doer, whereas the detached worker knows that his position is very awkward in this material world. He is convinced of his awkward position, right? And he realizes that I am not the doer, right? I am nimitta matra. I am just the instrument of the Lord. Knowledge of identity. An attached worker does not know that this body is produced by material nature. And this material nature is working under the supervision of Lord. So he can't see that. Therefore the Lord later on says, Mayi sarvam idam protvam sutre manigana iva. He says that people see the pearl necklace, but nobody sees the thread that holds the pearl necklace together. So the attached worker is not able to see what is happening behind the scenes, to give the results of activities. He is not able to see that. So, and he does not know that he is under the control of Krishna. That is called as nescience. Whereas a detached worker knows that very well. He knows his real identity, that he is a part and parcel of Krishna, right? He knows that somehow he is trapped in this material world. So, such a person is known as Tattvavit. Tattvavit, it's mentioned here, the word Tattvavit. So, Tattvavit is a person, one who knows the absolute truth in different features and knows one's factual position and relationship with the Supreme. So, that is the knowledge of identity. What about the engagements? The attached worker does not engage his bodily and mental activity in the service of Krishna. He does not engage his senses there because he forgets that Supreme Lord Rishikesha is the master of all senses. He doesn't know that at all, right? Whereas a person who is a detached worker in Krishna consciousness, he uses the tortoise principle, which we have already discussed. He uses his senses to serve Krishna. He withdraws his senses whenever there is service not required, like that. Consequences. What are the consequences for such an attached worker? He forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas for a person who is detached, the consequence of knowledge is what? He is not disturbed by activities, nor he is disturbed by the results that those activities generate. He says that whatever comes, it is simply your mercy, right? If you work very hard at office and you still don't get recognized, then you realize that it is actually Lord Krishna is protecting you. Rather than going to the Lord and saying, Lord, what is this? Even Ganesh is able to give promotion. What you are not doing? Who is supreme? You or he? Devotee doesn't think like that. Devotee immediately realizes that the Lord is continuously frustrating you somewhere and not giving you something because it's not good for you. Like that. So a devotee always takes everything. Or the devotee takes it otherwise. He says that, yes, I must have done something in the past. Maybe I troubled my subordinate who worked very well with me and didn't give him something. Therefore, in this lifetime, I am not getting something, though I am doing something. Right? So, he either takes things as his reaction to his sins or as the will of Krishna. So, therefore, he is always Sita Ushna Sukha Dukha Daha Agama Payano Anitya Stam Sthitiksha Shvabharata. So, devotee develops tolerance, sthitiksha, because of that. So now let's go back to 26 and 29. So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. So don't tell neophyte devotees to stop their work, or people who are not really fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities. So don't ask them to stop work. Ask them to make them engage in Krishna conscious activities. For the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. That is 26. Now let's come back to 29. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them. The wise man should not unsettle them. Although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. For example, we have many people who come to the Krishna consciousness movement who have a flair for music. Okay, Carnatic music, Bharatanatyam dance, etc., etc. So what we don't tell people, hey, don't do this Carnatic music. Only you should sing for whatever is not bhajan, they are all rascals. Correct? Whatever is not for the pleasure of Krishna, then we don't tell them directly that you rascal, you are singing all these things. No. What we say, oh fantastic, Mataji, you are interested in Carnatic music. Excellent. You will be an asset to the Melbourne Mahaprabhu congregation. Please come. Let us sing for the Lord. Please use your Carnatic music skills in serving Krishna. So come to do kirtan. Here is the harmonium. Here is the mridangam. Here is the kartal. Do. You sing like that. You must have seen many times, right? All these things happening. Like that. So if someone has a penchant for something, then you have to just channelize that in Krishna consciousness. So what happens? That desire then gets purified. So don't stop them from doing anything. Channelize them. That is called as Bharat Banaguru. What is that called as? Yukta Vairagya. Yes, forgot that word. Yeah. It is called as Yukta Vairagya. Channelizing everything in Krishna consciousness. I was just joking. It's his favorite verse. Okay. So just merely stopping work is called as Falgu Vairagya or false renunciation. Because what will happen? Okay, I'm not going to, okay, Prabhu, you told me stop Carnatic music. I'm going to stop. Then after 3 or 4 days, what happens? You will hear that Balamurali Krishna singing. Like that. Okay, let me go, you know, little bit, let me hear cassette. Like that. The mind will be there. It will be there in Carnatic music, right? Or, for example, you know, I don't know, Pink Floyd, shall we say? Okay, Pink Floyd. Or some Phil Collins. Okay, Western music, right? So, you know, you have grown up listening to him. But then what's happening? Now you are attached to the electric guitar, for example. You can't help playing electric guitar. So what you do? Okay, Prabhuji, very fantastic. Please come. Please come. Madhava Prabhu is singing. From behind you can play electric guitar like that. The Lord doesn't need actually electric guitar. What does the Lord need? Lord says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayach. He just wants loving interaction. That's all. But because we don't have that love, but our love is in electric guitar, we can use that electric guitar to serve the Lord like that. So engage that same activity, engage in kirtan. So dovetail activities rather than stop activities. So don't stop any activities. Of course, you cannot say, Prabhu, I am addicted to alcohol. Oh, Prabhu, come, please, come. During prasadam, you know, we cannot do like that. Okay. So we have to know when to stop. There are certain activities which cannot be dovetailed. Oh, Prabhu, illicit sex, oh, very good, rasalila. No, we can't do like that. Okay. So there are 4 activities which cannot be dovetailed. What are those? Meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication and gambling. Outside of that, any propensities can still be channelized. Cricket, yes. Cricket, Prabhu, fantastic, come. Devotees are playing together. Please come. There are many devotees who have become Krishna consciousness by that cricket which we play in that, you know, middle park ground. Many devotees have come like that. No, they are still coming to the temple. They all started with playing cricket there. Otherwise, they were not interested, right? When they say cricket, oh, I'll come, like with devotees. In fact, Devamrita Maharaj himself had said once, no, I don't mind, you'll go and play that cricket if you want. Devotees also get some relaxation and sport in Bhakta Bhavan, but get other devotees also in the name of cricket. No? So sometimes when we go to even Bhakti Urusha program, we ask, anyone interested in cricket? Yeah, we also play cricket, come. But the goal of life is not to play cricket. But if someone is there, then you can channelize. But because he gets an outlet, instead of playing with, you know, non-devotees, he'll play cricket with devotees and get attachment to devotees. And attachment to devotees will lead him to Krishna, like that. Of course, this doesn't mean that we should go on playing, you know, in MZAC. It doesn't mean like that. Okay, that is not Yukta Vairagya. We must really understand what is required and what is not required. Okay. You can play still for physical exercise. I don't do that.
In this matter, Prabhupada was very expert. No? Like someone had asked Prabhupada, why have you opened these big temples when you say the chanting of the holy name is enough? But like it says in verse 26, a wise man will engage people in activities of Krishna consciousness because they can't sit and chant. So Prabhupada said that you can't sit and chant under the tree, and that is why we have these temples, so you have some active services.
Correct.
To do.
Yeah. Keshav Prabhu often tells that in the class. Everyone heard, right? So all this temple etc. is to keep us engaged. But otherwise Yuga Dharma is, if we can sit and chant continuously, Satatam Kirtayantamam, that is more than enough to go back to Godhead. All other activities are meant to supplement that chanting. Like that. Okay. So did we read 29 or no? We read, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So one point which I missed mentioning is that in these verses it is mentioned that devotees are more merciful than the Lord. The Lord says, I don't want to do anything with karmis. So let them, I have given provision anyway. Because Durga Devi is there, she keeps the non-devotees engaged in mode of passion, ignorance and goodness. So let them perform philanthropic activities, let them work like donkeys in office, and some of them let them be very happy, you know, taking drugs and alcohol and lying in Fitzroy Street. right? So the Lord is just saying that, okay, you want to enjoy, you do whatever you want, right? But the devotees, what they do? The devotee will go to Fitzroy Street. He'll say, excuse me, what happened? No. You are having an LSD? High on LSD? Come. I will give you prasadam. Like that. Who did that? Srila Prabhupada did that. Come on, I'll give you gulab jamun. Prabhupada bullets. He went to that such places, such Fitzroy Street, and then he, what is that called? In New York, what is it? Bowery. Yeah, he went to Bowery and made hippies into happies. So though Lord Krishna, so it is said that the devotees are more merciful than the Lord himself. The Lord may not have intervened, but the devotee made the Lord intervene in their lives. In fact, the hippies asked Prabhupada, what qualifications did we have? Later on when they became devotees, what qualification did we have? Because you are talking about Agyata Shukriti and Bhakti Unmukhi Shukriti. What did we do? Prabhupada said, you don't have any qualification. I made your qualifications. So this is called as causeless mercy of a pure devotee. By a causeless mercy of a pure devotee, even a chandala can be saved. Like that. Yeah.
Prabhu, here Krishna is saying that not the priest to neophyte, but devotees are more merciful.
Correct.
So aren't they directly contradicting what Krishna is saying?
Okay, now you have to understand that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then Lord Krishna is completely captured by the devotee's love. He is bound by the devotee's love. You should read Madhurya Kadambini. Read chapter 1 of Madhurya Kadambini. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is beautifully bringing out that point. He says that the Lord can never refuse his pure devotee. Because the Lord wants to become the servant of his devotee. So how can the Lord become servant of his pure devotee? By obeying whatever the instructions that the pure devotee gives to the Lord. And what does a pure devotee give instruction to the Lord? He doesn't say, okay Lord, please now you better provide me that promotion in office. No. That pure devotee, he has no other business. He wants to just unite the children with the parent. It's like, for example, let's say if Yamuna Leela is very angry with Aditya and no, he has got slap, let us say. Okay, sorry Aditya, I'm just using your example. Okay. You know? And then what happens? Viraj Prabhu is coming from there. No, he's coming. Arey Mataji, don't worry. You know, Aditya is a good boy. You know, so I am telling. And then, you know, a little bit shant like that. No? Correct? So, and then what are you doing? Actually, you are helping. And Aditya is very happy. And at the end of the day, what does she want? Does she really want to throw him out of the house? No. She loves him. But she is just, you know, little bit disappointed with the way that he is. But then you are coming as an instrument and uniting both of them. By which his behavior is changed. And she doesn't have a problem if his behavior is changed. So the devotee interface and says, please don't reject this person. Give me a chance. I'll take care. And then the Prabhupada took them. And then finally brought them to a level by which they are brought them to that standard by which they can go back to the spiritual world. So devotee is more merciful.
We see this in this, that the Lord himself came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he again contradicted that rule also. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not follow that. He was giving it freely
to everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just wanted to say the same thing, that we are doing it under the authority of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has given us the permission to do it, so we are not in a way contradicting.
So in all these verses, three levels of work have been discussed till now. Working only for fruits, which is called as? Working only for fruits. Karma Kanda. Okay. Then establishing Krishna as the goal of all activities, but yet remaining attached to fruits. What is that called as? Sakama Karma Yoga. And then being completely detached from the fruits of work, but still being attached to the activity. That is called as Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay. So the past few verses have stressed on these points. Now, from Nishkama Karma Yoga, from verses 30 to 35, Lord Krishna is talking about bhakti. So let's quickly go through those verses. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your work unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. So Lord is essentially giving the essence here that the highest level of self-realized work lies in pure devotional service. And pure devotional service is above ritualistic religion or dutiful work that is performed for purification. So doing out of duty is one, doing for the sake of religion is one, but doing out of love for Krishna and for the pleasure of Krishna is the highest, like that. So he is establishing this. And Prabhupada is also writing, he gives an interesting analogy that Krishna consciousness is like military discipline. In the military, you don't argue. If he says, do like this, salute, then you don't say, you know, can I do like this or something. Like that. You don't argue. He'll throw you out from there. Right? The commander is telling you, do this, so you have to do in the army. You can't argue. If you're arguing, you're out of the army the next day. Right? So, in actual Krishna consciousness, a devotee is like that. He completely aligns with the desire of the Lord, completely becomes selfless. He says that, Lord, you are my commander. Whatever you order, I'll do. I am Das. That is the actual meaning of servant of servant. Otherwise, sometimes we say servant of servant, but then, you know, we feel bad when someone calls us servant. Like that. It's not like that. So, liberation, also it's mentioned that liberation has got two aspects. One aspect is acting in Varnashrama Dharma and acting in right consciousness. So there are two aspects of liberation that are given here in these verses. And you can study yourself for more detailed realizations. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. So Lord Krishna is emphasizing in this verse that studying Bhagavad Gita without faith has got no benefit. So importance of Shraddha is underlined. In fact, amongst the various stages of devotion, devotional life begins with Shraddha. Without Shraddha, nothing can move like that. So the essence of this verse is that one's ability to advance in spiritual life is directly connected with faithful, non-envious acceptance of Krishna's orders and his teachings. Faithful and non-envious acceptance of Lord Krishna's teachings. That is when one will be able to advance in spiritual life. It is mentioned that even if one is not at the stage of devotion, as long as he is sincerely faithful to the words of Krishna, he will ultimately qualify for pure devotional service. Okay, we are in 32. But those who out of envy, so faith and envy should not be there. Sorry, faith should be there and envy should not be there. But the Lord is saying, but those who out of envy disregard these teachings and do not follow them regularly are to be considered bereft of all knowledge, befooled and ruined in their endeavors for perfection. 33. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature. For everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the theme which comes across here is, we cannot force someone to give up his conditional nature and material desires. Can we? Like most of us are preached in some form or the other. We cannot force people to change. So, even Lord Krishna doesn't take away the free will of anyone. So, who are we to take away the free will of someone? Right? So, the point is coming here. So, Maya is very powerful. Prabhupada writes, Maya is very powerful, such a way that even a high education of someone, Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta and Sribir, even those things cannot actually save anyone. Right? Or make them change their free will. No, it will not. Because material education doesn't tell us how to subjugate our free will to the desire of Krishna. Material education doesn't give that, unfortunately. And mostly, material education nowadays pushes one away from Krishna consciousness. So, a question may arise that if we are all helplessly forced in this way to act according to our own natures, what is the use of so many rules in the Shastras to regulate our activities? That may be a question that can come. So, the text 34 and 35 talk about that. So, 34 Lord says, there are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. So, Prabhupada writes here that one has, we have already discussed some of these aspects, but again reiterating, Prabhupada says that gradually we can only purify the desires by dovetailing them in Krishna consciousness. We cannot otherwise automatically remove their attachment, because attachment and aversion are they are in every devotee. Every materially conditioned soul will have these two qualities. It can only be doubted, these attachments. Okay. So, Prabhupada emphasizes that we have to follow the regulative principles in order to overcome attachment as well as aversion. For example, if I am too attached to eating chapatis, then once in 15 days, rotis, once in 15 days we have Ekadashi to overcome that attachment. And if I cannot tolerate Samo, for example, some people cannot tolerate Samo Kichri, but on that day we have to eat Samo Kichri many times so that we get over the aversion to something. It's very difficult, but yes, the regulative principles give a chance. Very difficult. I already said.
Only one question. How many guns?
Okay. So, but having talked about regulative principles, it's very important to follow regulative principles. But Prabhupada says, do not rely only on regulative principles to deliver you in Krishna consciousness. That's why Prila Prabhupada said regulative principles plus chanting. By regulative principles, one only is coming to the human platform. Right? After that, bhakti is starting like that. For serious bhakti, one needs platform of regulative principles. So don't get too attached only to regulative principles. And Prabhupada gives a very beautiful analogy. He says, there is always a chance of accident even on the royal road. Right? So even while just following regulative principles but not taking shelter of Krishna to control our senses still means that there can be accidents in following the regulative principles. So and the concluding point in verse 34 is one single attachment to what? To the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is the reason for developing detachments to millions of things in this world. So all we have to do is, instead of focusing on getting detached from so many things that we are attached to, the only focus we do is attaching ourselves to the instructions of Krishna, which comes through Guru. Therefore, these verses are laying the foundation for a spiritual master, which will come in next chapter, Transcendental Knowledge, Sadvidhi Pranipatena. All this is sowing the seed for that. So one must have a guru in one's life and take shelter and take instructions and guidance on how to live our lives. Then our serious devotional life begins only after we take shelter of a spiritual master. That is the first step. Before that, we are in probation period right now. Right? We are doing it, but we are not confirmed like that. Okay. Text 35. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than perform another's duties perfectly. Right? Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, never imitate other's duties. If you are given a duty of a Brahmana, then don't try to be Kshatriya. If you are Kshatriya, don't try to act like a Brahmana, which is what Arjuna was almost trying to do. Now he is talking Brahminical language in battlefield of Kurukshetra. So follow authorized direction. That is the learning here. Non-violence does not suit a Brahmana. Sorry, non-violence does not suit a Kshatriya as much as violence does not befit a Brahmana. However, Prabhupada is concluding here, in Krishna consciousness only you can transcend all this Varanashrama Dharma. If you are a devotee, then you can act as a Brahmana and a Vaishya and a Shudra simultaneously. You can act as anything. Right? For example, sweeping. Who actually does that job in our traditional Varanashrama Dharma? Who will do that? But what we are doing here? Sometimes we are wearing hat of temple president or treasurer of the temple. You have seen Prabhudas Prabhu, right? He is treasurer of the temple. Which means, in one sense, he is doing the job of a Vaishya or a Kshatriya in that sense. You know? Right? But also he does not hesitate to water the plants, right? Or to do Gundija Marjanam in the temple. So in a devotional service, we see an example here itself in our congregation that someone is able to multitask both. Anirudh Prabhu, for example. You know, he gives Bhagavatam class, he is wearing the hat of a Brahmana. He is laying down policies and procedures for the temple and chastising people who are not following the proper procedures in the temple. So that is the role of a Kshatriya that he is doing. So in devotional service, for the sake of Krishna, you can don any varna and you can do any ashram. It doesn't matter. Right? If for the purpose of, for example, my god brother, again I'm just mentioning, I was mentioning even in Milpak program today, Gaurahari Prabhu. Gaurahari Prabhu was he was an IIT top 100 rankers, one of the best brains in India, right? He's a professor in IIT Bombay in computer science department, like that. So he never wanted to marry. That's what I was told by other devotees. He never wanted to marry, but then he was almost given an instruction like that it is better if you take Grihastha Ashram, don't join the Brahmacharya Ashram, but go back to IIT and become an assistant professor and professor there, so that the IIT preaching program can continue, which Devamrit Maharaj is very actively involved in, like that, right? And therefore he is doing exactly that now. In fact, he got admission to so many wonderful universities, UC Berkeley, etc., which are the best for computer science. Most of the IIT top guns end up there, right? But he refused admission to all that and joined IBM Aberdeen, center somewhere in New Delhi. And then finally came from there back into IIT as a professor, right? Which ordinarily people would like to go abroad after having such a high achievement in their life. But he did that simply because he kept the goal of his spiritual master. Not only did that, but he wanted to be Brahmachari, he took Grihastha Ashram. So that husband and wife together are running the base camp at IIT. They are cooking for the IIT boys, so that thousands of people are becoming devotees. And through his Grihastha Ashram, he is generating Brahmacharis out of IIT. Can you imagine this? So therefore, so this is an example where we can be very clearly understand that a devotee does not necessarily have to be very particular about this ashram or that ashram. In any ashram, you can serve Krishna. And to serve Krishna, you can adopt any varna also, like that. So that is the gist of 35. So any questions or comments? We'll just go take one or two very quick things. Everyone is tired. Nothing? Okay, if you have any questions, we'll take it in the next class, before we begin. Today we had to a little bit rush. We started also a little bit late. Srila Prabhupada ki.